Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
The Old Testament reading for this Sunday comes to us from the baptism of our Lord, of Isaiah, in chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you up. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle this day is from Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We are buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we had died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives, he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. I invite the congregation to please rise for the Alleluia.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the third chapter. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod, the Tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The people were in expectation. They were all questioning in their hearts concerning John, that he might be the Christ. Expectation, excitement. What was happening in the Jordan? Well, it was like nothing anybody had ever seen before. People were going out there in droves from Jerusalem and Judea, from far and from wide, the young and the old, the rich and the poor, because of him, because of John. John, the prophet that broke the drought of God's word that had lasted 400 years. John preached. He called people to repentance. He baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Could he be the one? Could this be the Christ? No. No, I am not, John said. Oh. Faces droop, shoulders sag, disappointment. You know, sort of like when you open that gift on Christmas morning that you thought was the gift you had been waiting for, and it turns out to be socks. Oh, thanks. No, John said, I am not the Christ. But the one that you want, the one who is mightier than I, he is coming. Someone so much greater than me that I am not worthy to crawl on my hands and knees and untie the strap of his sandal. Now, that may have been a hard word for people to accept. It was probably hard for the people to imagine someone greater than John. I mean, just look at his following. Look at the people who are coming out to him to be baptized. Even leadership in Jerusalem were there taking notice of John. John went viral, and John was fearless. John had the audacity to call out even King Herod. Someone greater than he? Certainly John's being modest, right? Humble, right? Which, of course, made him even greater in their eyes. But John was exactly right. John is not being humble. John is being honest. He is a sinner. A sinner who is so wicked that he cannot even approach the Christ to ask or to beg for anything. And that is our situation as well. So, the Christ approaches John. Jesus comes to him. And the one whose sandal John is not even worthy to untie, he asks John to do something far more, far greater than untying shoes. Jesus, the Christ, asks John to baptize him. The sinless one being baptized by a sinful one. It should be the other way around, don't you think? In fact, in Matthew's gospel, John even says that, oh no, I got to be baptized by you. But no, not God. The God who doesn't demand that we come to him, but that he comes to us. The God that doesn't demand that we clean ourselves up first, but rather comes to make us clean. He is a God who doesn't do things the way we do them. He is a God who doesn't think the way we think. Unfortunately, because of that, many think that this God is sort of foolish or maybe really no God at all. I mean, when God doesn't live up to our expectations, when he isn't the kind of God we think he should be, well, we're usually more than willing to look for him somewhere else. I mean, come on. A God who comes in sandals? But it's even worse than that. This is a God who comes to be baptized. He didn't need it. Clearly, Jesus is the Son of God, perfect in his righteousness. So why is he being baptized? There's only one reason. For you. That's why he was born. For you. That's why he lived. It was for you. That's why he went to the cross and died. It was for you. That's why he was baptized. For you. He didn't have to do any of those things. But we needed him to, and so he did. We needed him to come to us, to be one of us, to come all the way down to the lowliest of sinners, all the way down to you and to me. We are not worthy to approach him. So he comes to us. And stepping into that Jordan River, it's as if he says, I'll be the sinner. You be the child of God. I'll take your place and you take mine. That's why he's baptized. And it's why we're baptized. It's why at the end of the divine service today, we're going to sing, God's own child, I gladly say it. How can we say that? How can sinners like us be so bold to make that claim? Because I'm baptized into Christ. Because Jesus has made it so. You know, the prophet Isaiah today hinted at such an exchange. God said through him to his children Israel, I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. But the greater fulfillment of that prophecy was not just to redeem Israel, but to redeem the world. And it was to give a much greater ransom, his own son. Jesus publicly began that work on this day in the Jordan River. Before this time, Jesus, the Son of God, had been mostly hidden. Born in relative obscurity in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth out in the sticks, a few knew who he was, the shepherds, the wise men, Simeon and Anna, folks that we've met over the last couple of weeks. But now, there's no more hiding. Now it's public. The Father and the Holy Spirit make sure of that. The Holy Spirit descending on him in bodily form like a dove, and the Father's voice booming from heaven. You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. Luther remarked that today is really the day of the three kings, not Epiphany. Because today, at the baptism of Jesus in the waters of the Jordan, the King of creation, the triune King, is right there. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is there, come into his creation, into his realm, in order to redeem it and to save it. So God the King is in water with sinners. Big sinners, little sinners, if there is such a thing, all sinners. First, it was in the water of the Jordan. But after that, any water will do. Water which, united with His Word, becomes a life-giving water, is filled and rich in grace, is a washing of new birth with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Word makes it so. The Word which says, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. I forgive you all your sins, and it is so. Just as at creation He spoke, and it was so here too, because God's Word always does what it says, because it is His powerful, living, and active Word. So when the powerful, living, and active Word was poured on you, maybe sprinkled on you, some maybe even immersed in it, really doesn't matter how, when that powerful, living, and active Word came to you, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you received the forgiveness of your sins. It is with you that God is now well pleased. This is what the Apostle Paul was explaining to the Romans in those verses we heard today. Don't you know, he says, that when you were baptized into the death and the resurrection of Jesus? When you were baptized, the old sinner in you dies with Jesus and a new person rises to life with him, to a brand new life. New birth into a life that is no longer enslaved by sin and no longer held under the dominion of death, but a life that is set free and a life that is now eternal. Because the one who gave you his life as a ransom for you. And that all may have that gift, the gift bought by the three real kings, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. After his death and resurrection, Jesus sent out his apostles to give that very gift. Go, he says, baptizing all nations. Set them free. Let them out of their prisons. Their prisons of sins, their guilty consciences, their failures, their regrets, all of that stuff that's burdening them. I want it all, Jesus says. Baptize them into me that I might be in them, that I might give them the forgiveness of their sins and their new life. This action is part of the action of the office of the keys, as an image Jesus himself used. It's that authority that God, that Christ gave to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners. It's the gift that John was actually trying to give King Herod, preaching to him, to bring him to repentance, just as he had done for so many at the Jordan. John was trying to unlock the prison of sin that Herod was in and give to him life. But Herod rejected that word. And to all the other things he had done, he added this shameful thing. He locked John up in prison and then ultimately took John's life. Sadly, that happens. Some do not want the gift of God, or they want it on their own terms. But here's the thing. Herod's new wife, she couldn't give him that new life. Nor could his power give him that new life, his wealth, or anything else. You and me either. Though how often do we end up looking at for it in things of this world? But there is really only one key to life, and that has been authorized to the church, to the bride of Christ, to use, to proclaim, to pour it, to feed it in the Lord's Supper, to give life to those who are dead in their trespasses and sins, and to free those who are in the prison of sin and death. Of course, not so that we can just go and sin some more. I mean, come on. Whoever gets free from prison and then goes back? Oh, yeah, that's right. We do. Sometimes we're just not so smart. We're just not so faithful. But when we fail, as we do, we hear from Jesus, I'm still with you, here for you. There's more forgiveness. There's always more forgiveness. More than you can ask or imagine. More forgiveness than there is water in the Jordan River. More forgiveness than grass that covers the earth. More forgiveness than atoms in the universe, because Christ's forgiveness is for all and it is greater than all. So each day we are called to repent of our sins and to rise to new life in Jesus and to be truly free. This is the gift of that day that Jesus gives when he stepped into the water to be baptized and to begin his mission of salvation in earnest. This is the gift given to a little baby today, Bennett. This is the gift that was given to every one of you when you were baptized. You might not remember that day, but your Father in heaven certainly does. You know, I'm pretty sure Bennett probably doesn't remember being born, but I bet you Mom and Dad do. It was a pretty special day, wasn't it? And I'm pretty sure Mom and Dad will tell stories of that day until Bennett's sort of like, oh, I've heard that story so many times. But see, it's the same for us with our baptisms. We may not remember the day, but that's why we gather regularly and often, so that we're told the stories of that day, so that we're reminded of the power of God at work in such a simple means. We're told the stories all the time so that we might die to sin and rise to life in Christ. Because united to his death and to his resurrection, we are united to the forgiveness and the life that he won for you. These are all gifts of the three kings, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sanctifier. Or to sum it up the way Isaiah put it today, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. Amen. The peace of God and the joy of God that comes from being a child of God is yours in Christ your Savior. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.